All right, and we're back now from the break. Are you still floating?
Yes.
Good. Now, you know that you can use that technique we just took you through. It was a very brief technique. It took probably no more than about 15 minutes, tops, to do that. You can use it any time of day. You can use, almost you might say, kind of micro versions of it during your day. When you find yourself up against any kind of limit, when you sense any kind of restriction or limitation, and say, ooh, I feel restriction, I feel limitation. Now let me imagine what it'd be like if I was outside of that box. And you can bust it and start opening and start freeing yourself. Once you do it two or three times, it takes less and less effort to do. It starts to become more natural for you to truly do your spiritual awakening, your personal learning processes, by going beyond first and then opening to that. Going beyond first. New paradigm of growth. First you go beyond, through imagination, to what you desire, to what you dream, to what you can envision, and then stretch and stretch and stretch. And then look at what it would be if you were that beacon of light, if you were that pole, that polarity of radiation, of radiance, sending out waves, sending out your frequency into your reality. What would that do? What impact would that have? After a while, you'll get a sense of it, just the energetic sense of that. And if you find yourself in limitation, as soon as you identify it, you can go there. And you can break out of the limitation. Now, of course, what that does is that puts you into the chaos. That puts you into the space. That puts you into floating free. But before you put your feet back down on the ground, we'd like for you to think about what you would like to know. And hopefully, one or more of you would like to be willing to discuss this. We're going to have an open mic here, and Daniel has the microphone. So if anyone wants to ask a question, please raise your hand, and he will hand you the mic.
Thank you. Hi, Galaxis. It's Carrie.
Hello.
I've had some very interesting awarenesses this past week, and I think I'm seeing the composition of my box. When you talk about emergence, you talk about dealing with what you're most afraid of, and I know many times people say you're afraid of being homeless and getting sick, and I'm not afraid of that. What I'm afraid of is not coming and achieving what I set out to, coming here, not doing what I set out to do.
Failing your mission?
Failing my mission. And
oh my.
Yeah, but even as I say that, my heart is pounding like
crazy.
Isn't
that amazing? Yes.
And then the other two pieces that I discovered this week was the amount of guilt I carry and the amount of judgments. I have a lot of judgments on myself and around and on people around me. And I'm not sure I understand completely how the three work together. But again, I feel like my heart is just going to come right through my chest right now, even saying this.
Mm-hmm.
when I think about not accomplishing my mission, I judge myself. And then it doesn't achieve anything except to just really come down hard on myself, and I got to work harder, and you know all the stuff that you say about young adult. I got to work harder. I got to make more phone calls. I got to figure a way out of this, because you have to achieve this. You have to achieve this. If you don't achieve this, then you're gonna hit 60, and you're gonna be done. That'll be it. You know, might as well just end it right there.
Well, that makes everyone else who's listening, who's 60 or over, feel really good.
yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, so take a nice deep breath. And as we often say, you know, you're not just asking your question, but this vibration is with everyone in this room. All right? And everyone who listens to us is going to have some aspect of this that will kick in. All right. What's going on here is that, yes, you chose to do a mission. But the mission we want to point out to you, dear ones, the mission is to realize who you are. It was not an achievement. So you enter into physical plane manifestation and forget kind of who you are, and you go running around looking for who you are, and looking for who you are, and you buy into the beliefs of your culture that who you are is what you do. All right? Now, this is a form of identity, right? And a huge load of shame is dumped with it, right? The shame that's dumped with it is that if you don't achieve, then you will never be valuable. You'll never be worthwhile. You'll never be spiritual enough. You'll never be better than, so that you can be the leader, so that you can be the spiritual lighthouse for everybody, so that you can float up there serenely up on high and show everybody how it's done. But all of you got that put into you. Why? Because at some point you realized you did not belong in the mainstream reality. Yes, you realize that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's like you didn't identify with it. It's like, what is this?
I was even labeled as the black sheep. You know, no
exactly.
And it fit for me. It fit more to be the black sheep than to belong with the people that...
Right. But you see, what happened here is that you shifted this whole black sheep identification over to your spiritual reality, to your spiritual mission, to your spiritual becoming. It's like, are you the black sheep of the spiritual community now? The one who can't ever seem to get it together, you see?
Oh.
That's part of it. But another part, and the bigger part of it, which is the transition, the bridge that you've used to get there, is that when you realized that you weren't going to be lauded, supported, nurtured by the mainstream, approved of, valued by your community, you separated yourself from it, and it was painful. It was painful not to be loved. It was painful not to be accepted. All of you have felt this exclusion. In order to get on your spiritual journey, this has been part of your experience, is to exclude yourself or to be excluded, to experience it perhaps from a more passive or more victimized point of view, from your consensus or mainstream reality and the people who represent that, i.e. your family, you know, your friends, your the people who were supposedly your mentors, your teachers, or the people who held a sense of success and said, here is what you must achieve, here is where you need to move towards, and so on. And so you became the outlaw. You became the rebel. You became the, or sometimes the black sheep, which is another way of judging it, right? But when you are excluded, when you're looking from the outside, you still want that love and support. Yeah, you pull away because it's too painful not to get it. It's too painful to be judged. But you still want it. So what you do is that you absolutely, by your imperative, must come onto your spiritual journey. As you get onto your spiritual journey, you just move that over, in a sense saying, look, I'm going to have to get approval over here. I'm going to have to get my support over here in the spiritual. And I am going to put my life together, and I'm going to be successful, and I'm going to achieve, and I am going to put my life in such a place where it is beautiful and is wonderful and fabulous, and they're going to be jealous of me. Or I'm going to show them how to do it. I'm going to be the one to demonstrate. Obviously, that's my mission. I've got to do that. So you take what is an imperative, a part of the structure of the consensus, and you just put it onto yourself in your spiritual life. So you spiritually must achieve. We have had many talks with people who are just absolutely distressed that they're making such little progress in their spiritual development, because they've got to go so far, they've got to somehow or another prove that they are valuable, prove that their way is okay, that their way works, because there's this whole group of disapproving people who's saying, well, you know, you're just on the fringe, you're just wacky, you're out there in the woo-woo, you know, on the ethers and so on. And frankly, as a spiritual being, the reason that you realized it when you did was because you are more comfortable working on these other dimensions than most people. So you're picking up and perceiving more of what people are communicating on more levels than other people. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
You're picking up more information.
Yes. Yes.
All right? One of the adjustments people often make in the mainstream is that they find that they don't want to know what other people think of them. It's too scary. So they put themselves in a box, and basically they shut off their intuition, they shut off their psychic awareness, they shut off their expanded perceptions. And some of you did that as well, to your great chagrin, great frustration, because you'd really like to be the great metaphysician, you'd really like to be the great magician now, and you'd really like to show people how you can go to 14th dimension or whatever it is. But you can't. So basically you take the terms of the consensus and you pull them over to apply to you. You'll never make it, of course, that way. But you're hoping to prove yourself. You're hoping to show and demonstrate that your way is okay, that your way is good, and that, and if your ego gets into it, your way is better. Hey, you guys, you know, what are you judging me for? This is a spiritual way. This is the better way. Look how much more successful I am at it. Look how much more joy I have in my life, how much more love and success, and blah, blah, blah. That's because I'm metaphysical. That's because I do it from a spiritual angle. Unlike you guys, you know, that do it all from, you know, all you care about is money and all that kind of mundane stuff. And you move through that period. Do you remember that? You move temporarily through that period. It's one of the transition phases. And then you realized, you know, it's really not about them. It's really not about pleasing them or letting them know. It's about me fulfilling me. And here's the dangerous part for you, dear one, and all of you have probably played with it. You were told when you were a child that you were a child of God, that God is like the Father. God is the Father. And this God the Father isn't just always nicey-nice. Have you noticed? He can be pretty judgmental.
Yeah.
That whole image of God the Father. And okay, even a loving father. How many people, you know, of your age group know what a loving father is? Physical men were not allowed, in a sense, to be really loving fathers until just kind of recently. Right? I mean, how many of you knew fathers who knew how to love and how to be spiritual and how to care and how to really open themselves up and the depth of their experience and to be intimate and caring and loving in a spiritual way with you? Right. It wasn't allowed for men to be there. They had to be in their armor. They had to be the white knight or the warrior or the wage earner. They weren't allowed to go there. So your image of God was patterned on that, of a disapproving male authority figure.
Yes.
Right? And even though you know consciously, you know intellectually that's not true, that that's not what God's really about, inside yourself emotionally, a part of you that never grew up is still seeing yourself as a child to that God. Still seeing you as a child. And this child, in order to be loved, must prove itself. It must earn its love. It must do things that are of value and worth so that God will come and say, well, you're all right. I'll love you now. I'll stop judging you, because I was judging you just for your own good, you know. So to try and hone you to, you know, the whole hierarchical learning concept is that the teacher is hardest on the ones that have the most promise in the class, right?
Yes.
You know, it's like, what was it? The example is in the Asian tradition, the teachers can be really mean to their students. And the better the student is, the meaner the teacher is. And it just seems to be that's the way to get rid of the ego and to make them feel small, that somehow or another that's going to enable them to open up to devotion, or that's going to make them focus on their martial arts or whatever it is, whatever pathway they see that they are going. And so they'll work harder on their meditation so that they will not get into ego. So you are made terribly afraid of your egos. Don't go there, no ego. So where did you know to go? Back into child mode. Right? So child feels like child must earn. Child must do the right things. Be the good behaving spiritual one. Meditate appropriately. Be nice to everybody. Be loving. Be perfect. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that this is your mission. This is your destiny. You must be perfect. Whew. A lot of people, as they get into their spiritual mission, are terrified that they will die before they complete their mission. They're terrified that they will have to repeat lifetimes, keep coming back and doing this birth-death thing. More suffering, more struggle on physical plane. That's also part of the Asian tradition. It's this whole wheel of karma, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't succeed, you just have to come back and keep doing it because you're stupid and you just have to learn your lessons over and over until finally, boom, you know, you finally get enlightenment. Stupid idiot. You'll finally get enlightenment. And finally you'll do something good. And finally you'll do something good for humanity. But until that time, you're just some, you know, pathetic creature that's bumbling through life. And you have too much ego. You have to keep getting rid of that ego. So make yourself smaller and smaller and smaller. And of course, as you make yourself smaller, the fulfillment of your mission seems further and further away. Because your mission is self-realization, is to realize the God in you, to realize the divine in you. That's your mission. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can't do diddly squat until you get there. As far as being real important in the world, you know? Two missions, your personal mission and your global mission. The first mission is your personal mission, is to recognize your divinity, to own your power, to love yourself, to acknowledge in the process of doing so that your reality is loving by its very nature and therefore supportive of you, so that you can allow it to support you rather than being at odds with it. To love you, you must take all the judgments off of you. We went through this in some great detail in the Healing Your Relationship with Yourself workshop, which also dealt with your identity. But you see, you want to make a shift in your identity. All of you do. You want to expand your identification. The identification is not with a child who must please a very, what you might, almost Victorian father figure.
Right?
Your mission is for you to grow up to honor the God, Goddess, all that is, that is in you. To live your life honoring that, discovering more and more of it, and letting go of all those trappings. Again, the Victorian childhood, right? The strictness, the discipline, the judgments, the punishment, the guilt, the shaming. To let all of that go. To create for yourself that connection with your divine within. That is your first mission, the realization of yourself.
So, to clarify, the guilt, I feel guilty when I'm successful, judgmental when I fail, and the whole thing's going to go to hell before I'm 60. That's all Victorian.
That's all Victorian crap.
Okay.
Unfortunately, and it got intertwined with what you, basically the old school of Western metaphysics, where man know thyself really ended up becoming, you've got to be successful in the world to prove yourself. And you got to do it spiritually. And then it's going to be worthwhile. And then you can be the great leaders. And then you can be important. And then you can be okay, finally. Right? And even though that's embedded in there, for the consensus, and even if you are not aware consciously of this, this is in your unconscious mind because it's the collective unconscious. And so your whole culture is expecting that, you know, if you're going to prove yourself, you've got to get really successful. It's like, you know so many struggling artists, right? Struggling artists. They don't seem to have any they don't get a big market of appreciation for their unique art and their and the beauty and da-da-da-da-da. And yet, if one of those struggling artists suddenly shifts and they become wealthy, and they become extremely successful. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, wow, this is fantastic. This is amazing person. They're great. They're fabulous. All the family will say, oh, we're sorry we doubted you. Right?
Right.
So you've expiated all your sins. You fulfilled your human potential, et cetera, et cetera. So finally everybody's going to believe in you. Not. Not. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we want to point out something. We want to point out that you would not have chosen to come into embodiment at this particular time and space if you were not ready and if you had not chosen to fulfill your mission. So even though you may have this whole time frame on it, right. I'm getting too old. I'll never be able to succeed because I'm getting 60. 60 is so over the hill. I'll never make it if I'm 60. Oh, you have to make it. You really should be making it when you're 35 or 40. But 60, nobody cares what a 60-year-old woman does. Yeah, you don't get all that value, you know. But we want to point out, you're not going to fail. Because you made the choice before this very lifetime. All of you made the choice before this lifetime. You're not going to fail. You're going to succeed. But not in the worldly way, necessarily. Yeah, you will succeed in the worldly way to the extent of being, you'll be comfortable. You won't need to worry about things. But it's the spiritual in which you find who you are. You find yourself, and that's more important than anything else. And you know it.
I do know it. Mm-hmm. I do know it.
And you will not fail. You already know it.
Yeah.
It's really just about applying it more. All right? Now, as you get this knowing, as you anchor into this knowing, you have basically fulfilled your mission. See, as all of you anchor into the self that is free, that is gloriously living their life, you're tuning in and plugging in to the self that has fulfilled that mission of self-realization. You're already there in your imagination. You've already succeeded. All right. Yes, there's more that you may want to do. Mission number two is to do with your global connection. Your connection to the planet, to the world, to the change of consciousness that's going on around the whole planet, to the opening and the freeing of consciousness from its three-dimensional box into the fourth and into the fifth-dimensional boxes. Yeah, they're still boxes, but they're much, much, much larger and so freeing. You don't have, after you are able to expand into fifth dimension, you don't have pain upon hitting walls anymore. If that's over, you don't feel limited anymore. You work differently. You work with your boundaries and play with them. Because by the time you get there, you will have anchored in the resonance of love within you for yourself, and you'll be able to radiate out to others in your world. You'll be powerful. You'll be able to radiate your love, and you will, by your power and your love and your beauty and your grace, you will attract to yourself all those who have come to be inspired by you. Does that make sense to you?
It does, and I have another question that just came up.
That's right, yes.
I do anchor in, and as soon as you said that, I felt more grounded.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go out, and I work in the consensus world.
Right.
And
your grounding, truly speaking, dear one, is in your spiritual. And so many
yes.
people who are in the spiritual work, in the spiritual dimensions, as far as who they really are, where they really identify with themselves, must ground there. Grounding into the world doesn't tend to work very well.
Yes. And I do feel, like I said, when we're talking here, I feel the grounding in the spiritual. And then you leave here and you go into the physical. And
no, well, so why do you leave there? You don't have to choose between. What you do is that you stay grounded in the spiritual. That was the point of what we were talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
And radiating and being in that place, in your spiritual grounding, look at what that does as you send that light and wave from you into your mundane world, how it makes changes there. See, the thing is, if you compartmentalize, then what it means is that when you go into your workday world or your consensus world, you're back to being that child now.
Yes.
And the society and your banker and your employer or your clients are like the Father God leaning over you saying, okay, are you doing it good enough? Good. Are you worth some money from us? Are you worth some support from us? And you go right back to that old position.
Yes. That's exactly what I do.
Nobody else has done that, have they?
And then I judge myself and I, then the box and everything you've talked about with the contraction and expansion comes right there.
Well, look how much energy you must expend on a daily basis. Because you go into your work and so on, and you contract, and you feel all limited and so on. And then you come home and then maybe you do a meditation and you expand. And then the next day you get up and you have to go in and contract it again. That's a lot of extra work.
Yes.
Contracting and expanding every day. Whew.
Yeah.
That's work. Mm-hmm. You're giving yourself like three times the amount of work you need to give yourself. So here's what we would suggest. Recognize, basically, you're already fulfilled your mission. Now, what you want to do from here is to take that into your world. In whatever way is appropriate for you. Take that awareness and knowledge of you as the divine, as you as the one who can break free, as you as the one who can imagine whatever it is that you desire, and hold the resonance of that, hold the frequencies, hold the light of that, and expand it into your world, and watch the responses, and play with that. Because being spiritual is not about any behaviors at all. It's about presence. It's about your frequencies. It's about your vibes, you know?
Understood, and the feedback I get with that sometimes is, it blows my mind how somebody will come up to me in a room and say, I saw you from the other side of the room. You were just glowing. And and you know what I'll do? Sometimes I'll contract. Sometimes it's like, oh, no, I can't be glowing in this setting. This isn't the right setting to be glowing. This is a work thing. This is a council on homelessness. Who am I to be glowing in this? And you know, as you say that, who am I not to be glowing in this particular
exactly. You can't go around feeling guilty that you've got a nice home when there's all these homeless people you got to pay attention to and all these people who work with them and all that. In a sense, you want to look compassionate.
Right.
You got to get down in the ditch with them, you know?
Well, and I think that's, as you're saying this about how I knee-jerked into that Victorian role, I now can reach for one of the strengths that I do have is my compassion.
That's right. So that you can recognize spiritual people when you see them, people who are already becoming aware, who are waking up. Like we said at the beginning, your external circumstances are not your reference points as to how spiritually evolved you are. They are not. Stop going there.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
The way to tell how spiritually evolved you are is what you feel and think and know about you, that you are a light being, that you're powerful, you're a creator, reality creator. And yeah, sometimes reality creators can create really unpleasant, icky realities. But you're still doing it powerfully. You're still amazing in your ability to create some reality and get yourself really stuck in it. But you do that because that's your way of growth. That's your way of growing.
Right.
And that's why we're talking today about when you bust your box, you don't have to grow that way. You can start allowing yourself to grow by going beyond the box and then pulling and expanding the box up to where you are and pulling your reality and all its manifestations up to where you are. So how do you feel now about the potential of failing your mission?
My heart's not about to jump out of my chest anymore. I feel okay now.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Right. Because you're not the child shaking and quavering in fear that she's going to make a mess and mess it all up, blow it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she dies, then she's going to have to go to hell or purgatory or something. And she's going to be so disappointed in herself when she dies, and God's going to say, oh, you poor thing, you really didn't make it, did you? I'm so disappointed in you. How many of you are afraid that God's going to be disappointed in you? Like some parent that knows that that really makes you feel bad, right?
Right.
Right. So you're free of that now.
Yes. Okay? Yes.
All of you, free of that now? No need to carry any more of that. No more residue of that. Okay.
Yes.
Take a nice deep breath. Let's just kind of let it all out, all that gunk out. Now, since you're floating, okay, you're just letting it go. You notice how easy it can be?
Yeah.
You're just letting it go. You thought about it? Okay. And now you just, okay, it's a vibration, and you're letting it go. Let's just, if you feel like you're hitting a wall, take a deep breath and let it go. And now we're going to say something that's going to be pretty radical to some of you. Sometimes when you hit a wall and you feel limited, you may not know what the heck that wall is. You don't have to know. Sometimes you don't have to know. Sometimes you do, and if you do, don't worry, you'll find out. You have a way of creating that. But it may be that it's just a sense of limitation. It just is a sense of lackfulness or something. Just breathe it out. Just if you're having an issue with somebody, an issue with a person, just breathe it out. You don't have to take it on, in other words. Does that make sense to all of you? You don't have to take on other people's stuff. You don't have to take the consensus back on. You don't have to prove anything. You can continue to float. Now, some of you feel that it's more safe, comfortable, and familiar in your old limits. At least you know where you stand, right? You know your orientation. Could be that life sucks, but, you know, it's at least it's an orientation, it's familiar. Now, most of you are past all of that, but the point we're making here is that you know what it feels like to be in your limits. And you know what it feels like to be floating free. And you have choice now. With awareness, you can have choice. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Galexis.
All right. So we'll take one more. Yes.
Hi. I've already gotten an awful lot from this, but I thought I'd put this out there. Interesting, in the last couple of months, like February, you were mentioning stuff has been happening. Definitely with me. I mean, absolutely phenomenal things. But some things have come up definitely in my relationship and with my prosperity career-wise. Particularly relationship, never saw this coming. And prosperity, the two are interlinked. I'm feeling stuck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of myself because years ago, I would be in pieces right now with what's going on. And right now, I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And I'm really in a great big unknown and actually choosing to welcome it rather than, you know, the old me would just be quivering in fear.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, I'm proud of myself with growth. Everything you have said today has been huge and welcoming and wonderful and helpful. And I've actually asked for some direction with how to communicate to you to get some any farther evolvement here because it's like, it's interesting. I don't know if you know the movie Pay It Forward with what mm-hmm. happened with the little boy. I've gotten messages, it feels like, Gene, things are happening, you just can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but with this advancement and really wonderful things happening, I am feeling limited and stuck in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling like I might destroy some good things happening in my life by letting go. And I don't know if that's a feeling of, you know, that I've just outgrown the box, like you said, and you're feeling like, wow, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's part of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
All right.
I don't know how I've actually communicated myself this far.
Sounds good to us.
Okay.
Sounds pretty clear. Don't all of you recognize where she's coming from? It's one of those things that you're floating around and you hit something, you hit a wall or hit some kind of limitation. You're like puzzled and scratching your head over it. Now what? Because I busted free and I'm floating around, and the wonderful thing is that your identity has changed. You see? That's why you're responding differently, right?
Very much so, yeah.
You're not identifying from the one who feels, oh, everything is overwhelming. Everything is too much. I don't know how I can handle anything. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to pieces. Oh, gosh, the one who fragmented all over the place. You're not that one now. Okay? Now, think of that fragmentation as part of a limitation. What if you were to take that fragmentation you used to do, because you'd go to pieces, as you say, what if now you could realize that you're still, in a sense, quote-unquote, going to pieces, but in a positive way?
Okay, I can hold that.
Going to pieces in a positive way means that you are exploring creatively where you might want to head next.
That's where I have the feeling.
You're feeling guilty for leaving something behind.
Yes, yes,
and
yes,
fearful
yes.
that if you leave that behind, the comfort and the familiarity of that, even with the limitation of it, there won't be something ahead for you.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of times it's like people can live in a relationship that is just horrible for them. And they get damaged and they're abused and they put up with it and put up with it because they're so afraid. If they leave, will there be anything better? Right? Now, you know inside yourself really that there's better stuff ahead. But there's a part of you that does feel guilty about the hold that the old has on you. Yes?
Yes.
All right? What is that? You see? We're going to talk about that. Because that, for you, is a place where you snag yourself over and over.
Mm-hmm.
That's a place where you're really pissed off.
Wow.
You're pissed off that you're continuing to grow, expand, and change, and that they, the others around you, are expecting you to stay being the person you used to be.
Yes.
And it feels so restrictive. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel nice. It doesn't feel loving for you. And yet, these are the people that supposedly, if you ask them, they say, oh, we love you. We think you're the best. We care for you, blah, 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 blah. We just don't want you to go, you know, get lost. We want you to be happy and successful. And underneath it all, what they're saying, we want you to be where you were and just do it better. Because if you go off and become more, you're leaving us behind. And we take that as a rejection. We're going to take that personally. And we're going to feel threatened. And then we're going to judge you. We're going to exclude you. So there. That's what you get for leaving us behind. And you're getting that unconscious message from them.
Mm-hmm.
That if you don't act nicey-nice the way you always did, or if you don't get into this box with them, you know, then you're not their friend.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you're afraid that just in order to be friends with some people, that you're going to have to limit yourself. And you're angry at them for requiring that of you.
Beyond belief angry.
Yeah, that's, but you see, it would be beyond anger if you were feeling powerless about it. But you're not really feeling powerless.
No, I'm not.
So that stuckness is, in a sense, is not authentic. It's just you are on the fence in a dilemma. That's the stuckness.
Very much.
How much restriction of myself can I continue in order to maintain these connections? And if I don't do that, how much freedom can I give myself? And will I get other connections that are good for me?
Bingo, yes.
Okay. Earlier, when we took you through that little technique, did you not see yourself being able to make connections with new people who could love you and appreciate you just the way you are?
Very, very easily.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the reality that you're going to create when you're at that resonance.
I also feel myself hanging on to this other because of prosperity stuckness.
Right, because this other brings you money.
No, well, yeah, there's something, oh, God, there's such
or
an
unknown. A sense of security or something?
There's elements of benefit, if you will, with staying where I'm at, financially speaking, in order to attract the financial prosperity that I'm really aggressively working at.
All right. When you're on the fence with that, you can neither manifest one completely nor the other. Okay?
Okay.
So the new manifestation cannot come in because the level of resonance that you are radiating is not there yet.
Okay.
You understand? Because you're still on the fence.
Right.
All right. Now, question for you. Can you be yourself, spiritually speaking, honoring and knowing and who you are, and putting on your outfit, the mundane person outfit, without compromising who you are, walk into the mundane world in your mundane outfit? It's like going to business and wearing your business suit, right? You're wearing the external appears to be natural and normal to them. Can you do that and still stay connected to you at
no,
the same time?
I can't.
It's an either or for you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing that we heard just before.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual is compartmentalized over here, and who I am as the divine being, it's over here in this compartment. Okay, and then here is my daily life and all the needs that other people require of me and what they want of me and what I must do for them and blah, 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 and all of that type of stuff over there where I must be this other person and I cannot acknowledge and honor who I am. We would say that you have achieved your personal mission again, as you know who you are, really. You do.
I feel like it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, in a sense, you just have it compartmentalized. What if you were to take that vibration, that knowing, that resonance of love of who you are, dropping all the judgments about all these people and all these circumstances, because the anger that you hold is partly part of a righteous judgment about it.
Yeah.
That they should not be doing this to you. They should. All these other shoulds that, and they're not. Da-da-da. You're focusing on them, on their behavior. What if you took your divine self with your light and your love, with no judgment, and you walked into their world dressed in the mundane garb that they see so familiar? But inside yourself, you know who you are. Would you feel like a prostitute? Is that what you're afraid of?
No, I feel like that would be living in the solution.
Yeah, that's part of the global work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of your global mission, is to take the light of knowing who you are and now applying it into your world. What you do when you do that is that you're able to live fourth and fifth dimensionally in what for most people, virtually everyone, is a three-dimensional world. and you allow them to become more.
I do like that.
All right.
That's good.
What would that be like? We talked about, what would it be? You radiating your light, your love? How would that make a difference?
I actually keep trying to like certain people very, very much. Very,
and how
very
do you do that? How do you try to like somebody?
By finding what in myself I dislike that is reflecting back at me.
All right, and then what do you do with that?
I'm not quite sure how to answer that.
Right. Well, see, you're going to look for the problem, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's the focus. Okay, let's find out what's wrong.
Right.
Okay. The feedback you're looking for, instead, is to look at these people through the filter of being the spiritual light being that you are, rather than, where is it I'm not being adequate?
Okay.
All right? Because, see, what you do is that, okay, there must be reflecting something that's limited in me back to me. Well, it's probably true, but it could also be what they're reflecting back to you is the opportunity for you to step more into your power and your light.
I like that. I like that.
Why not reframe this stuff?
I've needed reframing.
You can do it just like so, but you got to be in your spiritual self when you do it. You've been trained knee-jerk, automatic reaction. The habitual, instinctual reaction been trained into you, ground into you, whipped into you, banged into you, for that you must give up yourself in order to be loved, to be valued, to help someone else, to be connected with them. That's just the training.
I can't do that anymore.
No, you can't. It's just time for your global work now. Your global work is to radiate your divinity into your life and to watch the waves of love go out. When you've removed your anger, because you've removed your judgment, you've forgiven them, you've forgiven yourself for reacting to them or feeling that you're blaming that them for the limitations that you're feeling. We talked about that, the environmental factors. This is one of your walls. The environmental factors won't move, so I can't move. You see?
Mm-hmm.
What if you stay outside the box and you walk into that environment and you just are happy with yourself and you just be with yourself and they can say all sorts of stupid things at you. And you go, well, that's interesting. Now, normally, I throw my power away at them right about now. They're saying this. Every time in the past they say, I could feel it. It's the attraction, the draw for me to, like, throw myself away right now. For me to shrink back into that person that they want me to be. I can feel that pull right now. That's interesting. So what do I choose to do? Now, I choose to radiate my light and my love. And do I have any judgment? No. Okay. Okay, I'm just going to breathe them in. And right through me. Like we've mentioned this before, we went into detail on the evening that we called The Secrets of Energy. It's about energy flow. When somebody's sending yucky stuff your way, Don't judge them. You're getting feedback from your reality. You don't want to judge the feedback you're getting from your reality because you want to use it, right, as a powerful reality creator. Right. So if you start judging them, you're stuck with them. But if you don't judge them, you have the opportunity to see what the opportunity is being presented as. It's being presented for you to take your power, your freedom, your love, to be safe in a situation where normally you're not safe.
Right.
And when you can see it that way, then they can be, it's like karate, whatever it is, martial arts. Your opponent is lunging at you, and you use their velocity and throw them over your head, right? You don't resist them. You're going to go down. So little guy can throw a big guy over the shoulder because the little guy knows not to resist. Goes with the flow. Do you understand that principle?
Yeah, sometimes that has worked for me quite well, and I'm wondering why I'm not choosing that in these other circumstances.
Because somewhere along the line, you've got a hook in there where you're looking for validation from them. You're looking to get an approval. You're looking to get something from them. You've got an agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely feels like an agenda.
Right. And you want them to treat you right. Damn it. Right? You want to be treated correctly. This relationship's got to look like this, 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 and then I will want to be in it. And you got to let it go, because maybe the person doesn't know how to go there. But if you radiate love, if you radiate your divinity into it, it may give them an idea. You may heal that relationship. You may enable them to grow. What a concept. Maybe you give them an opportunity to see how to do it. Hey, only 6 months ago, a year ago, might not have had a clue how to do it. You see? Mm-hmm. And if someone had come into your life that you were like, and they were looking like they were going to leave you, that you wanted to be with them, you wanted to be with them, they always kept withdrawing and running away from you.
That actually happened.
All right. Mm-hmm. How did you resolve that?
Actually, when I accepted it for what it was, they came back.
That's right. Voila. Mm-hmm. Because no longer were they being burdened by your expectations and assumptions of them. You were not limiting their identity anymore. You were not asking them to fulfill an agenda for you. You see?
Mm-hmm.
What if you did this for everybody else now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
You're ready to do it now.
I feel like it.
Does that make sense to all of you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, because part of your global work, all of you, is to apply this stuff. That's why you're in 3D reality right now. If you didn't want to apply it, if that wasn't part of your plan before you came into physical manifestation, you'd be happily going about your business on other dimensions and levels and other planets and star systems and so on and so on, and never would have had to come. You wanted to come and apply spirituality to the first three dimensions. You came to apply your healing, love, your healing and love to your world. So, of course, where do you start? With yourself, right? You start with you. And you're doing good at it.
I feel like it.
Yeah, and we'd say, all of you basically are coming along. You're doing so much better. Think about where you were only 2 years ago. Whew. Oh, it's like you were a different person then. It's like, that was another time, another place, another world, another life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so just for a moment, just all of you, just to close your eyes for just a minute. And just imagine yourself a gloriously radiant being of light. Imagine yourself like one of those ascended masters, you know, that you talk highly of. Imagine yourself fully realized of your divinity. A walking god or goddess in your world. Just imagine, what would it be like if you were a divine angel come to bring compassion and love to human race? Just kind of step into that place. Just for fun. Just to imagine. To have that compassion with no judgment. Being aware of how much other people suffer and struggle due to their limitations of themselves. Around how they perceive themselves, their beliefs, their environment and the assumptions they make about that, the identities that they hold, how they see safety, how they love to look at linearity and cause and effect, and how they feel safe and secure in their boxes, but how they're in pain. Imagine yourself the light, the beautiful and radiant light being, going into your life, the people that you know, even including the ones that perhaps despise you, hate you, have turned their back on you, the ones who want you to be a certain way, who like you provided you are a certain way, those who are wanting to grow and learn and change. I would love to be able to do that with you. And any other category, any other kind of person that's out there in your life, people you work with, people you connect with that serve you at the supermarket or at the corner store, people who provide services to you, the repair person, the mail carrier, your family, your friends, the people you would like to have as your friends, the people you would like or you used to like or want to like to impress. Just sense yourself touching them with your unconditional love. You, a radiant light being who loves yourself, who values you. You're the angel. You're the light being. And you just touch them with your compassion. You know what they're going through. Just imagine. Just imagine the people you talk to at work or wherever. Just imagine yourself just touching them. Energetically. Maybe touching them on the top of their head. Or touching them at their third eye between the two eyes at the top of the nose. Just imagine touching them. And if not physically, just energetically touching them with love and appreciation for all the feedback that they can give to you, for all the opportunities they provide for you to love, to learn, to change. Feel the gratitude for yourself, for all the work that you've done for you, all the learning and growing and changing and expanding of your consciousness you've done that enables you and allows you at this point to be able to love and care for them. And feel the gratitude for your reality to support you so precisely and so beautifully that you've brought these beautiful and interesting people into your life. To test you and challenge you, perhaps, to love you, to accept you, to be lifted by you, to give you a venue whereby you can step into greater light and love and power and majesty of yourself. Feel the gratitude for what you've created and the opportunities that you have. And send your love now in waves. Like a radio tower. Send it right out to them, through the world. Just send your love out. It just keeps pouring out of you because it's infinite in supply. When you are divine, you're in tune with infinite supply. As you love, as you send your light out, you are receiving tremendous amounts of love and light into you. Feel yourself like a fountain of love and light. The light coming in and the light spraying out into your world. Sense this as part of your identity. That this aspect of you that you are experiencing and imagining now is natural to you. It's natural to you 24/7. You're not draining yourself by giving. You're receiving in total abundance from the divine in you. See, those waves just continue out into the world like ripples in a pond. You, the point of impact. And it is good. All right. So let yourself bring that feeling back into your physical awareness and let yourself open your eyes. The waves are still going out, all right? You haven't changed. Don't let yourself go back into the box. We want you to stay outside the box for a while, or at least in your bigger box where you cannot even begin to see the walls yet. Floating. Floating. All right. All right, we're going to go on a break now, so we're going to leave and the channel will return. This will be your lunch break. It is a pleasure. We will see you again. Daniel will announce to you exactly when to return. And for now, we close. Farewell.